Good morning. It is a good life as a child of God, is it not? You are loved. You are a child of God, and God is pleased with you. If you are a disciple of Christ, that is what you are, and that is how the Lord sees you. That's what the Lord said. God said to Jesus when he came up out of the waters of baptism, he said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And it is a blessing to be together with you as this church family, serving God in this place, loving God, loving others, and serving in His name. And as we sit down with Jesus and join Him as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus sits down with His followers and gives Him the greatest sermon ever given. It has to be the greatest because it's from the greatest man who ever lived. But as Jesus sits down with the disciples, I want us to see the status of Jesus. That Jesus was a poor man, came from lowly beginnings, left the riches of heaven, left the authority of heaven, left his rightful place as the King of heaven, the Lord of lords, and the Son of God to come down to this earth and be born of a virgin in a place where no one ever thought anything good could ever come from Nazareth or from Galilee or from a little town in Bethlehem. A man who had nowhere to lay his head, a man who had no home, a man who raised his food or caught his food on an open sea, a man who labored as a carpenter, a man who was supported by others and stayed with friends, but a man who was poor. But this man, Jesus, he treasured what God treasured, and he treasured others above himself. God treasures people so much that he sent his Son from heaven to earth that all could come to him through his Son. And the world knows about that love by the life the Son lived on this earth. So imagine Jesus sitting down with his disciples as this poor man, a man who loves and treasures what God treasured. I want you to know that you are treasured. That there is a price tag on your life, and that price tag says eternal. That you are worth the life of the Son of God. That everyone has a deep desire to be treasured, and to know that you are God's treasure. All of you. All people who have ever lived, who are living now, who will live, all kinds of people, all people great and small, every color, every life, everyone is treasured by God. Jesus talks about treasures here in this passage that we get to in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He says he didn't say do not treasure, because it's very natural for us to have treasure. To treasure things, to put value on things, to desire things for life. So he says, do not treasure. Didn't say do not treasure, but he's going to address that what we treasure matters. See, treasure are the things that we seek to keep because of the value we place on them. Think about the things that you treasure. It might be something great, but even think of something small that you treasure. It is your treasure has value to you because you've put that value on it. It may be a small piece of paper with a special note on it. It may be a small item that was given to you. It may be a pressed flower that you put inside of a book to remember someone who gave you that flower. It may be things that are even greater, but treasure are those things that we keep because of the value we place on them. But see, what Jesus is going to talk about in this passage is that your treasure are where your heart is. Those things are valuable to you because your hearts go into those things, whether great or small. So now join and imagine Jesus sitting with his disciples. And imagine, he said he goes up on a mountainside and he sits down. But imagine this mountain that he's sitting on is a mountain of junk. That he's led you and led the disciples to a junk pile. And on this junk pile, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. Have you ever been to a junk pile? Everything that's in a junkyard once had value. Someone once valued that and treasured that and sought that and bought that and kept that, and it was valuable to them. Whether it was a car, some golf clubs, some nice shoes, whether it was a television or jewelry or a painting or music or toys or tools or you name it, it once had value and it was treasured. But just like every treasure of this earth, it rots, it rusts, it breaks, it wears out, and it all ends up in a junk pile. So it says, do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, because this is what happens to all earthly set treasures. See, junk is just treasure plus time. Junk is just treasure plus time. See, stuff is not treasure, though, until it is treasured by a treasurer. You know, some things someone really values in treasure, you go, that's just a piece of junk. I think there's a store around here called His Junk and Her Treasures, or Her Junk and His Treasures. It goes both ways, right? Things that we value that the other says, that's junk, throw it away. And they say, no way, that's important to me. I want to keep this. You can go, your other, find your treasure. So we each have our piles, right? We each have our stuff that we treasure. My older brother, Garen, he treasured something all the way up until his marriage. From the time we were children, my mom made me and my, he's 2 years older than I am, and either she made these or bought these, I can't remember, but they're these pillows that had these, he had a blue one with this sewn yarn or quilted around this pillow. He had a blue one, and I had a red one. You guess why I get the red one. Well, he treasured his blue pillow. I didn't so much treasure my red pillow. We both tried to sleep with him, but I would wake up in the morning and my pillow would be off the bed on the floor. My brother's, he would wake up and he would still be huddling his blue pillow that he treasured. And he would carry that. He never would let go of that pillow. And he actually treasured his pillow so much. And he actually began, and I would wake up one morning and my pillow was rolled off on the floor, but it was actually in his bed and he was treasuring both of them. He had the blue one and the red one in his arms. Until my mom said, no, that's your pillow, and my pillow would keep rolling off on the floor, and he would keep treasuring his pillow. Well, he treasured that pillow so long, he slept with that pillow through grade school and through middle school and through high school, and then took that to his college dorm room, and he slept with that through college. And then when he got married, he slept with that until he got married, until his wife said, put that in the closet. And it would still come up out of the closet, end up into the bed with him, until he put it in a box to put it away to where that treasure became less seen and less known and less so valued. I don't know where that is, but I'm sure he does. See, treasure is not treasure until it's treasured by a treasurer. And the treasures are things that we seek to keep because of the value we place on them. I don't know where my red pillow is, but I know my brother knows where his blue pillow is. See, he says, don't store up yourself treasures on earth, but rather store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Treasure God above all else. Everything that we can see and touch and smell are things of this earth. It says, do not put so much treasure in those things, because those will rust and be stolen and break down. But treasure things in heaven above all else, and so treasure God. Desire God. Seek God. Put value on God. Hold on to God. Keep God in your life. See, treasure also what God treasures. Treasure others. Desire living and loving others. Seek others. Find value in others. Imagine you bought stock in IBM in 1915. You bought one share of stock in 1915. Now, just imagine, what would that stock be worth today? Well, it doesn't matter, because you'd all be dead. However much that worth would be useless. We just went to a conference last weekend down in Southern California. On the tail end of the conference, got to go to Disneyland for my first time. If you read the article, it's a small world after all. I've become a believer. I've become in the believer of Disneyland and the joy of that place. But one of the rides there was the Pirates of the Caribbean. And you go through this pirate land. But I was struck by in this Pirates of the Caribbean ride, there are these piles of treasure. But you know who were sitting on those piles of treasure? Dead pirates. Skeletons. You know what? That's what treasure, and who is that treasure worth? Who is that treasure for? It's nothing. It doesn't go with them. You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and they both die, and they both are caught up into this place, and the rich man has nothing with him. All of his riches, all of his comforts, none of them are with him. He's desiring a touch of cold water because none of those riches, none of those things that he's stored up on earth are with him eternally. See, earthly goods are to be given, to be used, not collected. Treasure God above us. The Lord already taught them earlier in the Lord's Prayer to teach them how to pray. And in that prayer it says, give us this day our daily bread. And when he says, give this day our daily bread, they would reflect back to the time when the Lord provided them daily bread, when their ancestors were in the desert, wandering from Egypt to the promised land, and they were desiring food. And what does the Lord provide from heaven? Daily bread. Provides them manna. And what is the instructions he gives them? Go out and collect what you need for this day and this day only. If you collect more than just this day, it'll go bad. And some of them tested them and tried them. This is exactly what I would have done. I would have eaten my daily amount and I would have put some in my pockets. But in the next day, if you woke up, it was rotted. It was maggoty. It was no good. And the Lord did that so they would daily trust in Him to put their treasure not in the bread, but in the treasure would be in God, to trust in Him, to depend on Him. See, treasures on this earth are not to be used just for us, but to reflect on the one who gives them and to be used for others. Now, I've not been in a position in life where I've been the recipient of anyone's inheritance. You know, my parents have written up their will and they've given us the documents and how all that's supposed to happen when that time is to come that both of my parents are to pass. And you begin thinking about that and thinking about what that inheritance might look like and what the value of that may or may not be and what that might mean. You start thinking, well, if we had that, maybe that could be some investment and that could be something for college or that could provide this and provide that. And I think about, well, wait a minute. That means they're going to have to die. Don't have them, but I'm thinking about their treasure, and you start getting these numbers in my mind and thinking, resting in that treasure or that inheritance, and you start to think about what is retirement life all about, this money, and who is this treasure for? And I went back to my parents, and I said, I hope that you use this for yourself while you're still living. This is yours. You know, hope this benefits you while you're living to do what you desire, and they're doing good with using that money to help others as well, to treasuring what God treasures. And it made me start thinking about at the end of our lives, I mean, wouldn't it be great to imagine dying having given it all away? To die with just the clothes on your back. The things that are going to pass on, those clothes won't pass on, but you've done everything you can to give it all to God, to treasure what God treasures, to die with a life of meaningful relationships, to die having led as many others to the feet of Jesus. Treasure what God treasures. Treasure God above all else. And he goes on, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, where are your hearts? And that's the same question. Where are your hearts today? Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, everything which hinders us from loving God above all things acts as a barrier between ourselves and our obedience to Jesus. These things is our treasure and where our hearts are. Whoa. Those things that are between us and God have become our treasure. They become the things we desire and hold on to. And this is where our hearts are. You know, if storing up and hoarding up and buying up stuff keeps us from Jesus on this earth, it will keep us from Jesus in heaven. Think about the things that are precious to you. The thing that if you were to lose it all, what you would still grab onto. I'm here because I was able to survive a Mount Pinatubo volcano eruption. When I was in the Philippines, when my dad was stationed there, we survived a volcanic eruption. And this volcano spewed a bunch of ash all over the land on top of, they called them typhoons, and there was earthquakes, and so it was a mess of storm and ash, but it brought a lot of destruction on the land. And we had to get evacuated from that area, and we weren't able to fly out or drive out. We had to get on a Navy ship, of all things, to safely get off the island that we were on. Well, so we were very limited on the things that we could bring. We only had a certain amount of bags that we could bring. And my mom said to us boys, I was, in middle school, and my brother was just getting into high school. And it says, take the things that are precious to you, that are valuable to you. I got my Nintendo with the controllers and the power supply, and my brother got the Nintendo games. My mom got the things that she treasured, the picture albums, the Bibles, those things. See, we store up, we hoard up, we buy things, but are those things, and those are the things we treasure. And if these things are keeping us from Jesus, it makes us wonder where our hearts are at. See, life without Jesus in this life is life without Him in eternity. You ever heard this phrase? Man, it's like heaven on earth. Someone eat a great dinner and say, oh, it's like heaven on earth. Or you go to this beautiful place and it's like heaven on earth. But when people say those things, is Jesus there in that experience? Because there is no heaven without Jesus. It's heaven on earth, but there's no heaven in heaven without Jesus. Where are our hearts? We are living in the kingdom of God now. When Jesus came to this earth, He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where is our hearts? Are there things that are barriers between us, things that we've treasured and valued, that we stored up, or we pile up, or we spend our time doing? And so just as He says, the things of this earth will rust and destroy. And if while we're still living, we have opportunity, we can take those things in our hands, and maybe there's some things we need to destroy, some of those barriers now, to remove those distractions that are keeping us from Jesus. Because as followers of Christ, there's no doubt that I believe that we want to keep our hearts to be with Jesus. But yet, if there are things that are keeping us from Jesus, then I think when Jesus is saying, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, that we need to destroy those barriers now, to remove some of those things that we've placed great value. Now that can be very hard if there's a blue pillow that we've held on to for a long time that has great value. But to be honest, will this pillow go with me? Or is it keeping me from life with Christ? To destroy those barriers now, and to declutter our lives of some of those things. To simplify our lifestyle to focus on the kingdom. To declutter the stuff and to declutter the time. Think about how we use our time. The things that we spend our time on are the things that we value, and those are the things that you treasure. Are those treasures of this earth, or are those treasures of heaven? Because where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. I don't know what's easier, to declutter our stuff or to declutter our time. I know at one time, and I've said this too, I was raised this way, that we were at church every time the doors were open. Do you remember a time like that? You remember, we were at church every time. We're far from that time. And this is not about families, it's about all of us. Are you in church every time the doors are open? How are you spending your time? See, my parents were in church every time the doors were open, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any extra thing the church was meeting, any extra time, because they valued that. They treasure time with God and His people. And I took that value on in my life and I treasured it. My brothers treasured that. That was valuable. That's how they spent their time. You know, I've done a lot of studying and working with families and talking about things that families should do and can do at home and should be doing to help show what's important, what's valuable, where our treasure should be in the Lord, whether it be doing Bible studies or devotionals or serving and talking, sharing life together. You know, I wasn't raised with doing a lot of Bible studies, but one thing my family's treasured was treasuring time with the church. That value. They decluttered their lives. You know, was their life just more simple than mine? Was it not busy? Were they not ever doing anything else? No, they had full lives. They had jobs and they had careers and they had further education. We did so many other things, but yet there was time for God. That time has gone away. But I say that we, as a church in this place, in this time, with you and me, families at home or no families at home, or single or married or not, that we reform and we reclaim our time together, that we treasure and value what the Lord treasures, time with God and His people, to restore a new culture of the kingdom of God in this place, starting with you, starting with me. And you may think, my kids are long gone. I wish I would have had this lesson when my kids are here. But you know what? If they're living, they're still seeing you. What does mom and dad treasure now? What does grandma and grandpa treasure now? Why can't they come to my stuff on Sunday morning? Why can't they come on Wednesday night? Because they treasure what God treasures. To declutter our lives, and to donate our stuff, to repurpose our stuff, and to repurpose our time and donate our time, to deny ourselves and be completely devoted to God. Our treasure is where our heart is. And our money also sends our heart to where we want to be engaged. Think about all the things you've ever bought. Your hearts are there. Think about all the things you ever spent your money on to do or to be a part of. Your hearts were invested and went there. Whether it's a car or a boat or a house or the clothes you're wearing or your appearance or entertainment. Everything that we've ever spent, all of us, our hearts go where our money goes. But our hearts also go where we give. To God. When you give to the Lord, your heart goes to the Lord. When your heart gives to somebody who's going on a mission trip or doing acts of service, your heart goes with them. Or you help to support someone's financial account with their medical bills, your hearts then go with them in those places. Our treasure is where our hearts is, and our money sends that. And not just maybe just our money, but our time and our effort. You know, I was convicted this week, and I'm not saying I'm not good. I'm stingy with my money. I'm stingy with my time. I am. I'm not very generous with my money. I want to. I think, well, that'd be great to help that person. I'll pray for you. And nothing against prayer. Prayer is great. The least we can do, no, the most we can do, what we should be doing more of and continually and always is praying. But just this last week, I was writing this sermon. Had a friend, she's experienced, she's my age, went to college with, has breast cancer. And she was a softball coach at York College now. And her team's opened to donate to this fund to help her with her treatment and her process with her breast cancer. And I've had that message several months ago. And I thought, man, I should really care. I should really send something there. And my mind is there, but my heart wasn't there. And this week I thought, well, I want my heart to be there because I love Ronnie and I want good for her. And so I donated some money. I had a girl from Weatherford, Oklahoma, our group back in Oklahoma. They're going on a mission trip to Mexico and I care about her and my heart goes there. And my prayers go to that group that they continue to serve God in those ways. But I said, my mind was there, but my heart wasn't there till I sent some money there. On her behalf. Our treasure is where our hearts are. What about our eyes? Are our eyes good? Are our eyes bad? The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Anybody here have bad eyesight? Ever had bad eyesight? Do you remember the time when you realize when you got those first pair of glasses, You know, I remember growing up and having bad eyesight. I got to where I was in the back of the classroom. I told the teacher, I can't see the chalkboard. I can't see what you're writing. She says, move up. I can't see it. She put me right in front of the chalkboard. I still can't see it. And she said, you need glasses. And so I didn't know I needed them. And then when I finally got those glasses and I put those on, and oh, everything became so sharp and so bright. And I didn't realize my eyes were bad. And I could see. And it was just so bright. And he says here, the eye is the lamp of the body. And see, this idea that the lamps give out light. And so this idea that light comes from within and shines out to be able to see. See, the eyes are something by which light passes through onto objects. See, in the ancient world, there were two theories about how people could see. One was this idea of intromission, meaning that light was something that was outside of the body and that it entered in through the eyes, enabling you to see. The other way is this extromission, meaning that light was inside the body and passed through the eyes and into the world to be able to see. See, your eyes are windows into seeing the world. Augustine believed in the extromission, just like we see Jesus also teaches on this. On this understanding, that Augustine says, rays shine through the eyes and touch whatever they see. Jesus uses this extramission idea when he's talking about the lamps of the eyes being the lamps of the body. He says that the eyes permit light to exit from the body, probing the condition of one's heart. See, these good eyes are eyes that are open to see others, to see what God sees, that come from a good heart, a heart of generosity, a heart of compassion, a heart of clearly seeing the worth and value in others, seeing the way God sees and valuing, treasuring what God sees, which is life and goodness for others. You know, in this old NIV, it says your eyes are good. And you notice in the version that was up there as Steve was reading the scriptures, it didn't say bad, it didn't say good and bad, it said healthy and unhealthy. Healthy eyes are full of light. And it's not the eyes, but it's the heart that's full of light. And from that good heart, they're healthy to see and that are good. Bad eyes are eyes that are closed to others from a darkened heart. Eyes that are a heart that is stingy and selfish and greedy and envious and jealous and consumeristic and discontent. Seeing the world incorrectly. Looking at what you have, but not being grateful. Looking at those in need, but not being generous. Looking at God, but not being confident nor content. Unhealthy heart full of darkness. Eyes prevent light from entering because of a darkened heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you treasure the world, your heart will be full, will be unhealthy. If you treasure what God treasures, love for others, your heart will be, it shows that your heart is healthy. See, people of the kingdom of God treasure people and use money. People of the world treasure money and use people. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So invest in the kingdom of God. Invest in the kingdom of God. People are internal. Invest in the lives of others. You know, some practices of giving that have been taught is the 10-10-80 plan. Take the first 10% of your income and give that to the Lord right off the top. That's the practice of tithing that we see in the scriptures. Then take the other 10% and put that in the savings, and then you have the other 80% to spend on your life. But how we spend and use that 80% shows where our hearts are at. You know, can you give more than 10%? Sure. Can you save more than 10%? Sure. Can you spend more than 80% on yourself? No way. And so where our hearts will go, where our money goes. Money is a good tool, but it's not a good treasure. If money is your master, then you'll be running on a treadmill your whole life and you will go nowhere. But if God is your master, you'll be living the good life and running with Him from this life into life with Him eternally, loving God and loving others, sharing all with nothing left on your back but the skin on the clothes that you have, having given it all, having led as many to the feet of Christ, and loving others. Be completely devoted to God above all else, because we are shaped by our treasure. If you treasure money, you'll be shaped by greed. If you treasure security, you'll be shaped by fear. If you treasure approval, you'll be shaped by reputation. Treasure success, you'll be shaped by achievement. If you treasure physical appearance, you'll be shaped by vanity. If you treasure power, you'll be shaped by arrogance. If you treasure God, you'll be shaped by love. What are you shaped by? You are God's treasure. Will you make Jesus your treasure? You are loved. You are a child of God. And God is pleased with you. What do you need to destroy that's keeping you from life with God? What do you need to declutter? Stuff? Time? What do you need to donate to the benefit of God and others and to share that love? What do you need to deny in yourself? And what would it mean to be more devoted to God today? Whatever it is that you need to do to show God that you are His treasure, let's come now as we stand and sing.